Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. The following episode of The Projection Booth is brought to you by Diabolik DVD, specializing in horror, cult, and other oddities on DVD and Blu-ray. Please visit www.diabolikdvd.com.
Hey, guys. This is Matt from the Intros from the Skeleton Closet podcast, and I'm just giving you guys a call to talk about the Last Action Hero episode. I feel that both sides were pretty well defended. You know, I have to agree, being a fan of the film, with Justin and Sammy on the fact that there are a lot of things about this film that really kind of hold dear to me. And I feel that this is not just a throwaway action film. It does have comedic elements that I feel play an extreme part in the validity of the film as a whole. However, Mike, you also made a lot of points about everything that I hold dear about the film being, you know, not so good. Who won? I don't know. I think that you guys need to go ahead and throw the gloves back on and go for round two, because both sides, again, were very well, you know, spoken of, and I think that you guys just need to go for it again. I look forward to hearing what you guys do with this, and definitely would like to hear a follow-up to Last Action Hero.
Leo Dafod is going to pass gas one more time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special episode of The Projection Booth. I'm Mike White, and with me in their respective corners, in the red trunks with me as always, is Mondo Justin. Hey, yo, Mick. And here with us again, returning for another round in the blue trunks, is the one and only samurai of the GGTMC podcast.
Oh, Adrian.
Thanks for coming back on with the samurai. What kind of good stuff is going on over at GGTMC land?
No, everything is great. Everything is midnight movie, or at least it tries to be. We just recently put out an episode, reviewed Psychomania from 73 and Hiss from the Jennifer Lynch film. But we also have not so much midnight movie type stuff, but we like to let our listeners pick every now and then. And one of our listeners has picked two interesting films, Shop on Main Street, which I think is a Czechoslovakian film, and then Seven Beauties, which is an Italian film, which is in our wheelhouse pretty much. So yeah, that's what we got pretty much going on. We don't really have a whole lot scheduled outside of that. Right now, that's where we're at.
Well, maybe soon you can do Gas and Sweetback's Badass Song.
Yes, along with itself, right?
Exactly. Yep. All right, folks, listeners have demanded, and we are here to deliver on this.
That's right. You know, we're giving you a sequel to the show from a few weeks ago, Last Action Hero, Part 2. So, Mike took a stance, Sam and I took a stance, and to me it seemed like no one really understood what the hell any of us were saying. So it's time to clear everything up and put this debate to bed for good.
You know, I think everybody understood me fine. It was you guys that they couldn't get, so just saying that something is a masterpiece doesn't really necessarily make it one.
Well, to be fair to Sam didn't say that. I did, and I'm just going to clear it up right now. I did say it was a masterpiece. I guess maybe, Mike, you didn't understand the usage of the word. To call something a masterpiece, that's really in the eye of the beholder, you know? So on that note, let me explain to you what the word masterpiece means. Webster's defines the word masterpiece as a work that is considered to be the greatest work of a person's career. What I said clearly in the last show was that I felt Last Action Hero to be Arnold's finest film performance. In addition, Webster's also defines the word as meaning a work of outstanding creativity, artistic achievement, and workmanship. Which again, going back to the first show, I did state clear that I thought the film was a clever attempt at parodying the action genre, which, by the way, had not been done prior to the release of this film, and it has not been attempted since. And not only is Last Action Hero a meta film in my eyes, but I feel that the jokes and the parodies aren't so in your face that you feel like you're watching a Naked Gun movie. And what I mean is that it's not a poke a minute or a joke a minute. It's showing things here and there that not only provide a laugh, but also remind you, oh yeah, it's really funny when an Italian woman at a funeral pulls a gun. And I like that. It's parodying these cliches in action films. I like that it's making you think about the situation. Unlike something like Naked Gun, where you just sit back and relax and laugh, not have to think about anything. And I also think that the film is a masterpiece because it shows you that anything is possible. You know, T2 can show up, our cartoon cat can save the day, explosions get bigger, no one really gets killed, and hot chicks work at video stores. It's the ideal world. And also, I'm going to tell you what a masterpiece is. So, you know, the movie in a movie doesn't have to have internal logic, which it does, by the way, and I find it funny that you felt that it didn't. You're saying that to me as if you're writing the film, or you're trying to rewrite the film in your head, you know, that Mike White is responsible for the film. These characters aren't your creation, and you have to play these cards as they're dealt to you. And you can't change what they've done or what they should have done, and it's not valid as criticism in my eyes to wish that they had done something different. That's not criticism, that's your own fantasy, and it's not correct to place those ideals or criticisms on another artist's work. And as for the movie, it's very cartoonish and comic book. Often in comic books, you're not treated logical transitions from point A to point B, and that works for me. You know, the film does work for me because it is such a decadent, overindulgent style. It makes you acknowledge there's something very big, and that aesthetic is true to idealism of the character of Danny Madigan. I think that the film is also for unrequited fans of movies of pure cinema, and it really allows you to let go and get lost. And I think Last Action Hero is supposed to remind you of, you know, like I said in the first show, in that the film is supposed to remind you of why you love movies in the first place. Again, it's for the escape that movies provide, and that it's okay for you to suspend disbelief. That's the essence of movies, after all, a story that anything is possible in. You know, plus, you know, the whole boyhood hero worship of things or people that are bigger than you is what makes this a great film. Then you have the gratification that Danny receives by getting this magical chance to spend time this year. This is a brilliant fantasy, and it's something that we've all thought about at one point in our earlier lives, you know, and that's what I appreciate about it so much, just the fact that it's this throwback to child ideals when things are just as they are. You know, take them or leave them, unchangeable, the shaping of youth, you know, and that's why it's a fucking masterpiece. And then, you know, I want to say that it's not my job also to convince anyone listening why something's a masterpiece. If you can't see the film's merits honestly for yourself, then I don't know what to tell you. And frankly, I feel a little bit sorry for you. And going back to what you said a minute ago, Mike, I seem to remember a few Facebook comments from people out there questioning what you had said as well. But we can discuss that in a few. Let's see where this goes. And so, yeah, suck it.
Where should I begin? Actually, I'm not even going to comment on any of that stuff, because for me, this whole show was supposed to let our faithful listeners out there chime in, let us know what you thought about Last Action Hero. Was I right? Is Last Action Hero a mess of a film? Not a masterpiece at all? Or was it a misunderstood, underrated metaphysical classic?
I almost feel like a referee, like standing in the middle, just like watching like this great... Justin was throwing some combos there, man.
It's going to get worse too, bitches.
Justin's been studying the dictionary all day long. He ate off Kevin Smith for it. I was hoping for this last time, but you know, last time he just kind of barked all day, little doggy, and he never bit. You're trying to stand up for yourself a little bit. I felt a little bad last time. My knuckles were pretty bloody.
It's not that I'm really standing up for it. I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to teach you how to look at things respectively and properly. At the end of the day, last episode, your opinions were kind of clear as mud, really. Complaining about one character in a film for 60 minutes really doesn't classify as criticism, but whatever.
Yeah, because you are definitely an expert on film criticism, my friend, and minor masterpieces. So I just focused in on much more than Danny Madigan, I thought, and what a little whiny asshole he was. But to me, he is the crux of the film's myriad problems.
Well, listen, I was there and I edited the show, so I'm quite familiar with it. And I'm not an expert on anything, never claimed to be. And, you know, I don't appreciate the nasty comments, but, you know, I'm of the opinion that for the most part, you know, valid criticism was sorely lacking. You know, you ran your mouth pretty good, but, you know, I think if you listen back to the previous show, especially near the end, Sam and I were pretty much able to debunk all of your bullshit issues with the film, you know, but whatever.
You guys talk a big game, but you got nothing. Nothing.
My only comment is, you know, Mike's of the opinion that this film is Danny Madigan's story.
I think his name is Whiny Asshole.
Don't shoot me. I'm Danny Madigan. I'm a kid.
I know that's what it seems like, but for me, it still feels like a Schwarzenegger movie first, and then Danny Madigan's kind of a background thing. That's the way I see the movie, and that's where it comes from for me. You know, that might be wrong, but I mean, I think everybody sees the movie how they want to see it, right? So Mike sees it from that angle. I see it from the Slater angle.
And you Mike know. Just happens to be wrong, but that's okay.
In this case, I'll agree too, but yeah, Mike is wrong about this one.
By your definition of masterpiece, that this is Arnold's best film, I mean, I find fault with that. Commando, Predator, come on.
Well, but listen, before we go into that, let's talk about that later. Let's get some of these clips.
I can't think of tears I can take from you. Well, see if this is clear enough. Give me your bag. And this time you won't get it back.
Here from the Drunk on VHS podcast, as well as the Daily Grindhouse Presents No Budget Nightmares podcast with Doug Tilley. I want to talk to you today about a subject that has a lot of controversy amongst Mike and Mondo Justin, and that is Last Action Hero. I understand where they're both coming from. Last Action Hero is an incredibly stupid movie. It's as lowbrow as it gets without resorting to fart jokes, and then I remembered Leo the Fart.
What is this, some kind of a joke?
So it's as lowbrow as it gets, including fart jokes. Hey, why not? You know, they can do what they want. They're Hollywood. But seriously, it's an incredibly stupid film. Pokes fun at a lot of the standard action tropes. You know, would I say that I disliked the film? No, not at all. I really enjoy it. I like the fact that it takes itself so not seriously, and that it's very meta about the film within a film. Been done before, it's been done better, but at least this was fun. I know Shane Black is basically parodying himself in the writing of the film, but he does such a good job with it. You know, and I know that he does it again later, but I think he does it best in Last Action Hero. I mean, definitely have some negatives in regards to the film. There's a couple of things I wasn't too happy about. I didn't like Danny as a character, although I feel that he's a necessary evil.
Put a sock in it. I don't care who does what to your Hershey Highway.
Let's just say that. He's not a good character. In fact, he's far from it. He's the worst character in the film. There's a lot of two-dimensional characters in the film, but that's obviously meant to be a jibe at action. But yeah, but Danny's probably the worst. I do agree that Danny should have been the most fleshed-out character since he was real. But he wasn't. I also thoroughly disliked the Leo the Fart bit. I am an extraordinarily lowbrow person, so fart jokes are right up my alley, but I was definitely not happy with how they did the Leo the Fart joke. It turned out really stupid. You know, it could have been done a lot better. Although, I have to admit, I did enjoy the fact that pulling his finger started the alarm. That was very clever. My favorite character, you heard at the top, is Lieutenant Decker. The chief on the edge of a heart attack is always my favorite character in action films. So Lieutenant Decker did a great job with that for me, especially with that particular rant where you hear him mentioning things like ball-peen hammers or the Diary of Anne Frank, which I found hilarious. Also, if you get a chance, you should really, as sort of like a companion piece to the movie, you should check out, take the time and really watch the video that AC/DC did for Big Gun. It's ridiculous. You've got Jack Slater, you know, walking into video shoot. Somebody throws a stick of dynamite, and he catches it, lights a cigar, and then blows up. Then he, for some reason, is walking around the stage. He then transforms into Angus and begins to rock out in the most awkward white way possible. You gotta love Arnie for his sense of humor about himself sometimes. All in all, I think that it was a great movie. I really enjoy it. I would recommend it to other people, despite Danny, despite Leo the Fart. And I would say that I'm with Mondo Justin and Sam on this one. Sorry, Mike.
I think it's yours, Danny. And you know something? I think the magic was yours, too.
Holy shit!
That's what I call action.
Such a nice job on that edit, isn't it? So great.
He did a wonderful job on that.
So good. Yeah, thanks a lot. That was Bo, right, from Drunk on VHS?
Mo.
Mo Green?
Mo. Just like the Billy Idol song. She went Mo.
Oh.
I think on Twitter he calls himself Mope Porn, which is a pretty great name.
I know I can speak for Mike and say we really appreciate him taking the time to put that together for us. Right off the bat, Mike, what I find really funny about this comment is the fact is, you know, on your notes, you kind of gave me a, these are clips that are pro and con, but magically this one was sort of left off the pro list.
You know, I don't know why I left it off the pro list. I guess because he starts off by saying that it's such a sucky movie, but then at the end he says that it's good. Kind of a weird thing there.
Maybe Mike White needs to get his ears checked. I don't know.
I'll give Mike just a little bit of credit here. It does sound like he starts off in one mood because by the time he gets to the end, it's like, you know, he's totally behind me and Justin. So, I really appreciate that.
So, Mike, what did you think about this clip? I mean, what did you think about what he had to say?
I'm just going to go on record that I think a lot of these clips kind of start off as one way and then they go the other. So it's kind of a strange thing. We're kind of the goalposts here as far as pro and con. There's a lot of people passing down the middle. Thought it was a great clip, and I did enjoy the little rant from the captain at the beginning there, but I agree with him that Danny is one of the worst characters ever on film ever. To me, Shane Black does parody better in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and for me, though, he did it better in Last Boy Scout, because that's still one of my favorite action films.
I agree that Danny is a little frustrating, but, you know, I think that's what he's supposed to be. I still think that, you know, he's supposed to be frustrating. We're supposed to be going along with his frustration, following that emotion and everything, and of course, I like the captain character as well, and I do think Shane Black does a good job. I think maybe it's more mature once you get to Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which is a film I do adore, and to some degree Last Boy Scout. I'll agree with you on that. I enjoy that film, but I think this is better written than Last Boy Scout. Not as well as Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, but I think this is better written than Last Boy Scout and stuff. Also, I just want to comment, videos aren't made like that anymore, and it's a real shame.
I agree. That video is amazing, and he forgot to mention the fact that Arnold not only rocks out, but he does the Angus Chuck Berry walk across the stage with a cigar and a smile, and that's the coolest part about it. To address some of those comments, you know, I don't think that it's a stupid movie in the literal sense. You know, sure, the jokes are lowbrow. They could be construed as stupid, but I actually think it's very clever. You know, I'm glad that Bo understood something that I don't think Mike did, which is that Shane Black was actually parodying himself in Last Action Hero, and that also Arnold is parodying himself. And I know, Mike, like last show, you had made the comment like, you know, maybe it was too far to have Arnold in the film parodying himself, and that was one of the reasons that maybe why it didn't work for you. I don't really understand why you would say that, because that's sort of the point.
Well, I think having another actor who was portraying a very Arnold Schwarzenegger-like character would have been more effective than having Arnold playing himself as that character, because it just adds that extra bit of reality when there should be that irreality in there. So to me, you should have had someone else where it was more of a wink to the audience that you figure out, oh, this guy. It's kind of like when Jerry Lewis goes from being the Nutty Professor to Buddy Love, and you go, oh, look at, he's playing Dean Martin. Had you had him transform into Dean Martin and have the literal Dean Martin on screen, I don't think that would have been nearly as effective as to have Jerry Lewis playing Dean Martin in that role. And as far as the jokes, they are jokes. I just don't think they're funny jokes.
Before I go far, I want to clarify that Lewis actually wasn't playing Dean Martin in that. Just, you know.
Sure, you can say that, but...
Well, I've got the proof, so if you want me to send you over the interview. And that's interesting that you say that. I really like that interpretation or that thought that you have about that, but that doesn't fly for me, because that's what makes it work so well. Not only is it clever that Arnold has chosen to put himself in and parody his own work, but it's funny that they're stuck in this cliched world, very much like the characters that they play in the other movies. Do you know what I'm saying? Which, in fact, is sort of like the resulting theme in the Last Action Hero, and Arnold is Slater by the end of the film, that he realizes that he shouldn't take himself so seriously because it's just a movie. And that's even proven in the last scene of the film where he's talking to the lieutenant. He's like, hey, chill out. You don't have to yell.
Yeah, I just think that they could have had it go farther.
You know, not to totally change subjects, but because I'm still reeling on the quote and on the clip and how he talked about Danny. And I don't understand how or why you would want to flesh Danny up more, because it is an action movie. And honestly, if you just break the character down and look at him, you get this story right from the front. He's this movie-obsessed kid, and it's that movie obsession, that need to escape this sad and disjointed home life. I mean, I can relate to that. And then there's also a growth for that character as well. You know, from the start of the film to the end, his growth is that he learns with the help of Arnold that life isn't as bad as he thinks it is, and life is what you make of it. And that's actually a line from the film as well.
I almost feel like Danny's almost like an avatar for the audience. That's what I feel like he is. I just feel like he's not supposed to be fleshed out. I agree with Justin on that. He's just supposed to be there to drive us through this this weird scenario that you know, they're commenting on all these action movies, because, you know, action movies are a fantasy, just like Sword and Sandal or just like any other genre, and he's just there to kind of take us through that, like the lead car on a roller coaster maybe.
Yeah, I just thought he was so obnoxious. I mean, I would rather have a protagonist to whom I can relate rather than just having this kind of like,
what's the phone number of the store?
555-2310.
Okay, what's your home number?
555-3812.
Amazing. I'm willing to bet that everyone has a 555 number.
So?
So? There can only be 9,999 numbers that start with 555. How many people live in LA?
8 or 9 million.
Aha! Uh-huh.
That's why we have area codes.
He was such a little punk. And maybe I'm thinking, Justin, that the real problem is that when I'm criticizing Last Action Hero, you think I'm criticizing you because you are Danny Madigan, you whiny asshole.
The funny, it might be because I do relate to this kid. It's so strange.
Hi, it's Jim from Bad Movie Podcast. I'm calling to discuss Mike Waite's problem. He seems to have this thing, and it comes to the surface with the Last Action Hero, where he has this irrational hatred of things that he can't seem to force into making logical sense. I think especially he is offended whenever things don't make logical sense because they were actually intended not to, like whenever something's a parody of all the tropes and continuity problems in movies. And if you make a movie about that, then you would think like you would include that. So I thought with Last Action Hero, everything that Mike bitches about, I thought was part of the joke. Like the movie was self-aware and they were just doing that on purpose. Like the obnoxious kid. Like every movie has the obnoxious kid that you hate. And it's like, God, this movie would be so better without this obnoxious whiny kid. And this movie has it. So I just took it as part of the joke. But then again, I don't know. See, I listened to the thing and then I got to thinking like, maybe Mike's right. Maybe this movie is just an incompetent pile. Maybe they failed at what they were trying to do, and they were actually trying to make, like, an homage, a serious, you know, a thing about the Schwarzenegger movies. But then again, I thought, nah, they wouldn't do that, because who the hell could do that? I don't know. See, now I'm just destroyed now. I don't know what to think. I came into this thinking, like, maybe Mike was wrong. I don't know. Maybe he's right. The only thing I know for certain is Justin's wrong, and I've been paid to say that, so thank you.
You know, I just sent him a can of Verner's and some White Castles, so I don't know, he considers that payment. Imagine what he'd do for some Stroh's or something. He might take you out.
I've known Mike for a little while now. I, you know, just listening to him and reading some of his stuff and everything, I would say Mike does like a strong narrative in his films and, you know, things like that. I don't know if that's exactly what he said. He said you like logic or something like that more than you like. But I don't agree with that, because I know some films you like, Mike, are slightly illogical, to say the least. I don't know. That one's even more weird to me than the other one, because that one, he really, once he gets to the back end, I mean, he really backpedals. And I don't know, you know, where he's going with that. And, of course, I don't know if he actually knows you guys or not, because he's saying, you know, he was paid to say something and saying Justin's wrong. So he didn't mention anything about me. So I guess he's saying I'm wrong as well. But I can handle that.
This kind of proves another. Mike, I want to know if you, when we talk about things having a lack of logic, for me, that is construed as you not being able to handle or accept the whole suspension of disbelief thing. Do you know, like, for me, it's very much the same thing. And so it's like, I don't understand, like, you know, like the first show we talked about, you know, you said you had problems, like, you know, when they came out of the film, like, you know, do the movie prints, you know, do they all stick on that scene? And it's like, for me, that is you not being able to suspend disbelief. And, you know, so I find I have a real hard time swallowing that. And so I kind of feel like that comment and your criticism in that aspect was really callow, because, you know, you say that, but at the same time, like, you know, last week's show in The Killer, you know, you said, well, I don't care that Chow Yun-Fat never runs out of bullets. It was sort of hypocritical in my opinion. So it's like, I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, I can't really wrap my head around how you can say there's a lack of logic, but yet you totally have no other problems with that same thought process in other films.
I guess because I can suspend disbelief when the story is strong enough, and when it's not kind of pushing itself in my face as to setting up something and then not following through with it. And that's really the problem I had with Last Action Hero, is they try to be so careful to set up these things and then they just kind of forget about them as they go along. I mean, I have no problem with absurdity. I have no problem with parodying of action films. I mean, Black Dynamite, I absolutely love that film. and that embraces a lot of these like problems with production and all this kind of stuff. They put that stuff in there on purpose. But to me, that's like, you know, they're doing it right in that way, and they're not, you know, just kind of McTiernan's whole like, oh yeah, I put in these mistakes on purpose, you know, and it's like, yeah, yeah, right.
But Black Dynamite also, I would say, is definitely more of a spoof than a, wouldn't you say that? I mean, I would definitely say it's more of a spoof than Last Action Hero. I mean, it's making fun of the same things that it's honoring at the same time. I know, and to a large degree, I mean, it's really going over the top. I mean, there's a lot of over the top moments. My co-host Will actually doesn't like it because he thinks it goes too far.
Yeah, I like, though, that they can honor and spoof stuff at the same time. And I don't think that they really hit the mark in some of these other films. But that one, to me, was kind of pitch perfect.
Let me ask this question. Do you ever think it might be a matter of tone sometimes? Because I listened to the Killer episode. You know, it exists in this world all its own. It's really, in a lot of ways, if you take reality to the Killer, it's a totally ludicrous film, right? So, but do you think it's tone sometimes that just does that? If a director sets up a certain tone and stuff, you just start buying into it and taking. I'm specifically asking you, Mike. I kind of know where Justin stands on this kind of stuff.
If I can let myself go and get in there and just kind of enjoy the film, which I think Justin understands that and does the same thing. It's just sometimes there will be a wrong note or a series of wrong notes where I'll suddenly be kind of jettisoned out in the narrative. And for me, you know, Last Action Hero is one of these kind of like orchestras of bad notes where it's just like every few minutes it's just like, oh, I can't believe this. But so yeah, I definitely can get in there and relax and enjoy and take it if that tone is consistent throughout the entire thing. And sometimes there are even films where there's a left turn and I can stick with a film if it takes that left turn and goes in a different direction. Like the most obvious one is like a Psycho, where it's just like suddenly Marion Crane is gone and we're in this whole other narrative. Hey, I'm right there with it. To go back to the metaphor that we were talking about before with the roller coaster, there's a lot of times where I'm just enjoying that ride and going along and really getting into all these, you know, loops and turns and corkscrews and all this stuff. Whereas with some films, I feel like I just kind of fly right out of the car.
Hi, this is Tom from Green Bay. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. Hey, I'm just going to give some support for The Last Action Hero and Mondo Justin. The movie isn't supposed to be an Oscar-winning material, just a fun watch. Arnold's performance is wonderful in the show. He does great satire of his on-screen character. I like it actually better than Kindergarten Cop Jr. and Twins. I like the writing on the show is wonderful. I like the use of the 555 phone numbers and the impossibly perfect women. And I like the fact that Jack Slater can't go out and easily dispose of his enemies like he can in many of his other action films. Also, I do support Mike in one fact. The Danny Madigan character is annoying as hell, and that's all I got on the show. Keep up good work, and love your show. Later.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Holland, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything Tom said, of course, except for Danny, anyhow.
I'll have to admit, there's some moments where Danny annoys me, so I can't say that it's a perfect creation that's supposed to take me through this movie. There are a few moments, but I think the older I get, the worse, maybe more annoying he gets. Maybe that's just me being curmudgeonly and stuff. I want to tackle on one thing he said. It's in your guys' opinion, I think I know where Mike stands on this because we know how he feels about Last Action Hero, but is this better than Kindergarten Cop Jr. and Twins?
I have more fun with it. I still think Last Action Hero is his best performance. I'm in love with the fact that he's able to just, I'm going to make this movie because it's going to make fun of me. And I love that. I love that. That's a sign of a great artist. I think probably the writing in terms of the narrative is probably stronger in something like Kindergarten Cop.
I feel that Last Action Hero is a better film than those three. I do like Kindergarten Cop. I also enjoy Twins for what it is. I hate Junior, but to each their own. If somebody out there, if there might be the world's biggest Junior fan out there, or who knows, you guys might cover Junior and make everybody a fan of Junior. I don't know, but
will we cover Junior, Mike?
I don't think so. Kindergarten Cop, I actually like that one a lot. I would put that probably at the top of the list, but I'm not a big fan of Twins or Junior. I'm not a big fan of Danny DeVito. Sorry, Danny.
I can prove this is a movie. Look out there, it's a cartoon cat.
He's supposed to be back on duty. He was only suspended for a month. Now shut up.
Listen to what I'm saying. An animated cat just walked into the squad room. Hello?
He'll do it again tomorrow, so what's your point?
That cat is one of the best men I got.
You know, it's funny. The week after we did our last action hero piece, there was a feature article in Empire magazine all about the making of the film. So I've been kind of waiting around at Barnes & Noble, the only bookstore left around here, to pick up a copy when it comes in.
With a new article about the film?
There's a new article about the film. Somebody just wrote an article all about the making of Last Action Hero. Only however many decades afterwards. I don't know why they suddenly chose to write it, but there it is.
They probably heard the show.
Before we play some clips of other folks who weren't necessarily fans of the films, I want to point something out that I forgot last time. You know, in Last Action Hero, the characters have this magic ticket that allows Benedict to pull the Ripper out of Jack Slater 3. So I don't know why Danny and Jack didn't do the same thing and pull Jack's kid out of the same movie, especially since there was a print at that shitty kid-friendly Grindhouse theater.
I don't understand, you know, why you even brought that up, because again, I feel like that kind of ties back to what I was saying earlier, which is like, that for me is your ability to not be able to suspend disbelief, because the fact that you're thinking about these characters' motives and why they didn't do something makes no sense, because you have to take this as it lies. You can't change the characters. So why can't you just accept them to where this is who they are and this is what they've done? It's like, geez, it's like, you know, look at something like Dune. You know, I don't like Dune because I really wish Paul Atreides would have just left Arrakis instead of fought.
It makes sense in the narrative. And to me, these characters went against what was being set up in the narrative. So that's where I'm having problems at. And the reason why I'm thinking all of these things is because I can't pay attention to the movie because it's so fucking stupid. It's constantly challenging me and telling me you're too smart to be watching this film and enjoying it. Why don't you go think about something else? So that's what I'm doing. And I'm thinking about more things than I think that the people that actually fucking wrote this movie decided to do. I don't think they did their homework. I don't think they put an effort into it. And, you know, if you can go into every movie and just take everything at face value and never think about what the character's motivations are, maybe they were motivated to do one thing instead of another, that must be a great place to live in. And I kind of wish I could just give myself a lobotomy and be in that same world too.
You can't go through life nitpicking every little thing.
It has nothing to do with motive. It has its existing actions. You're not saying like, geez, what was he thinking? You're saying, like, why didn't he do this? Why didn't he do this? It's not like, I wonder why he did this. It's why didn't he do this? That's what you're saying.
The character is so sad because he lost his son. So why doesn't he do something about it and go get his son? That's what I'm saying. You know, if a character in a movie needs money, sometimes they'll rob a bank. If a character loses their son and they have a magic ticket, maybe they should go rescue their son instead of doing what they did, which I found insulting, which was run around the streets of New York and go talk to Mercedes Rule and have that little scene and then listen to Mozart. And oh, it hurts sometimes too, because I even went back and watched this movie again. Oh, and it kills me every time I watch it. So that's why, is because I'm thinking more about these things than the writers were.
But you're sort of forgetting one important fact. When they leave the movie, they're still very much the characters in the movie they just left. So as motive would stand, why would Arnold think to go rescue his son? He's in Jack Slater 5, okay?
4.
So he's, whatever. The point is, he's in that movie. And what is his objective in that movie? Find the bad guys and kill them. So why would he stop to think and go rescue
Benedict
his son?
Benedict thought to stop and think and go get other people from other movies. Benedict had that awesome plan of getting villains from all these other movies. But Arnold couldn't do that. You're presenting me with two conflicting arguments here. So one character can think about things. The other character can't think about things. And I can't think about things because if I bring up why didn't these characters do other stuff, then apparently I have a flaw inside of me, Justin, where I can't suspend disbelief.
No one likes a smart ass.
I would agree completely.
If I can't suspend disbelief, I'm not able to watch any of these movies, because then I would be afraid if there was a train on the screen coming towards the camera, I would run out of the theater screaming because I can't suspend disbelief long enough to realize that that train is on the screen. I watch movies every day and I can suspend disbelief. It's because I don't enjoy this movie that suddenly I have a problem with every movie. I don't think so, Justin. I think that there is a huge hole that I could drive a fucking train through in your argument here. So sorry, buddy.
There's no hole. You're being very hypocritical. The whole point is, why can you suspend disbelief for others but not this one? That's my whole argument.
because other movies are better than this one. It is throwing me out of the narrative at every turn. And it's just, it bores me. It angers me. It's insulting to me. And it's just, it's not a funny film that is trying to be a funny film.
You're also forgetting to understand that Arnold is going through a transition as a character too, because he's going from thinking one thing to another, and there's no transitioning happening with Charles Dance. But that must be because he's so underdeveloped.
No arguments for me.
Hey guys, this is Joe from Daily Grindhouse, coming at you with music and fun. And speaking of music, how can you hire a great band like AC/DC and the best you can come up with is Big Gun? I mean, Tesla and Def Leppard can suck it, but AC/DC, man? Anyway, to get to the question at hand, I feel The Last Action Hero does not work as satire or anything else. Satire to me is defined as incisive, somewhat subtle humor poking fun at a specific subject. If anything, this movie is more slapstick. The incessantly screaming police chief with smoke coming out of the ears, the entire mafia family brandishing automatic weapons, including grandma in a wheelchair, Danny Madigan flying across the moon like E.T., MC Scat Cat as a detective. This is not satire. This is akin to Rem slapping Stimpy across the face with an oversized trout. And for the most part, the majority of these jokes fall flat. Even when they attempted the slightly more subtle stuff, like the whole 2 weeks before retirement bit, and then followed up with a Lethal Weapon riff, I mean, how stupid do they think we the viewers are?
2 days to retirement.
The non-stop, over-the-top Arnold one-liners were kind of funny. But honestly, after the likes of Predator, Total Recall, and even Kindergarten Cop, weren't they already kind of caricatures in and of themselves? And then followed up with Arnold practically winking at the camera after each line, it's like, yes, I caught the joke movie, thank you. With the car chases, falling out of the glass elevator, rooftop shootouts, and all the huge set pieces. If anything, The Last Action Hero is most successful as a straight-up Arnold Braunschweiger vehicle. But it's all been done before, not to mention done better. The biggest crime of The Last Action Hero is the undeveloped villains. Again, I would argue that's typical, considering the genre. But to have such great actors like Anthony Quinn and F. Murray Abraham play essentially cardboard cutouts is a real shame. And speaking of cardboard cutouts, despite having a haircut like Mary Lou Retton, I didn't have any real issues with Danny Madigan. He was annoying, especially in the beginning, but basically became more a second fiddle to Jack once transported into the movie. I don't understand why they practically jettisoned the whole magic ticket never-ending story angle until the very end. But then again, The Last Action Hero suffers from several identity crises. And what was up with Robert Prosky chasing Danny around the theater lobby in an ill-fitting bellboy outfit? That was kind of creepy. Anyway, in a tiny nutshell, those are my thoughts. I appreciate your time, and on a final note, I think the magic was yours.
I disagree a little bit that there's a big difference between slapstick and satire. I believe there's some similarities there between the two. Satire is typically, I don't know, making fun of, kind of poking or talking about vices, stuff like that, maybe shortcomings of characters or people or society and things like that. So it seems heavy, but I think you can take social criticism and do the same thing with slapstick. I mean, we can talk about blackface and all kinds of stuff. You can go that route, but I don't want to get into all that kind of conversation because it could get pretty deep pretty quick. So, I mean, I don't really agree with that statement so much. And also, I don't know if he knows this or not, but I don't think the song was written by AC/DC before. I think they wrote it for the movie. Am I incorrect in that? Justin, you might know.
I don't know. I love the song, though.
Yeah, I think they wrote it for the film. I think it's their kind of Big Gun. I mean, come on. I'm a pretty big AC/DC fan. I'm pretty positive that they don't write songs like Big Gun. I think they wrote it strictly for the movie and stuff. So,
and it sort of, describes the film.
And I mean, I'll admit that some of the bad guys aren't very well developed. I mean, yeah, they're not. I think the focus is all on Schwarzenegger in this film. This is where I really agree with Justin and what he's saying, is that it's all about Schwarzenegger. It's almost like the whole comment of who Schwarzenegger is, what he was, what he is to pop culture and everything else. He knows what he was. He knows what he is. I don't know if he knows anymore, but he did know at one point in time. I think nowadays he'd probably rather not talk about what his significance to pop culture is, at least what his recent reputation is, I should say. But I think it's why he was so involved with this project, why he had so much say-so. I don't know if he picked McTiernan or not, but it would seem right if he did, because he had success with him in the past. So, I do wish there was a better heavy. I'm a big fan of heavies in films. If you listen to our show, you'll know that. I love heavies, and I love Charles Dance. I think he's a pretty great actor, and of course, I love Anthony Quinn. But I don't think those guys had to be that important to Arnold. I think that, if you got Charles Dance making Rottweilers do cheerleader pyramids, I don't think you want that character to be that deep. Plus, he changes his eyeball all the time. I mean, it's almost like a Bond villain, and Bond villains aren't deep, are they?
One thing about your comment you just made is I find really great is the fact is you know that we agree on Arnold's appearance because he does know it. And the funny thing is he breaks the fourth wall, and that signifies like, look, I know what I'm doing and I know what I am. And you're fucking watching this and you're laughing your ass off. And I'm laughing too because I'm able to make fun of myself. And that is hilarious. He considers slapstick, I consider parody, especially the mafia thing, you know, because the mafia thing, the Leo the Fart sequence, it's a parody of a stereotype. And the underdeveloped villain thing, again, is the point, I think. You know, I mean, would having Charles Dance have a limp or having him collect antique fucking trains developed him? You know, this is a fucking parody of action movies, and villains are not generally developed in action movies, you know? Maybe Alan Rickman in Die Hard was so developed that I missed it. Charles Dance is a quote-unquote fucking movie villain, so he's supposed to act that way. He's not supposed to feel pain and loss and love and collect trains, and you're not supposed to see him eating breakfast. He's a villain, and that's the way the villains are in the action movie.
Like all great action movie villains, they never change clothes. They might just change guns or eyeballs.
Well, to that point about changing clothes, one of the very few things I like about Last Action Hero is when they go to his apartment and he's got all those exact same shirts and boots and jackets.
Yeah.
I do enjoy that one quite a bit because you always wonder.
Hey, this is Mike Sullivan. I listened to the projection booth about the Last Action Hero, and I just want to throw in my 2 cents. Yeah, so anyway, I like Last Action Hero. I enjoy it. I remember seeing it as like a, you know, in my early teens, but I gotta say, it's not a good movie. It really isn't. I'm with Mike White on this. It just isn't a good movie. And I think to call it a subtle movie just is out of my mind. I mean, subtle movies don't have, you know, extended fart gags and animated cats with the voice of Danny DeVito. That's not a key structure of subtlety. Those things don't exist in the world of subtlety. And another reason I don't think Last Action Hero is a very good movie is because it prevented like the Hans and Franz movie from being made. Arnold Schwarzenegger got really gun shy. He was going to actually co-star in that Hans and Franz movie, and actually sounds pretty good. I think like Conan O'Brien and Robert Smigel are writers on that, but I got to double check that. But anyway, I like Last Action Hero. Don't think it's a good movie. Yeah, that's all I got to say. It was a really good episode. Whatever.
I love the fact he says whatever at the end.
Yeah. Did he say he likes Last Action Hero, but it's not a good...
Yeah, he said that he liked it, and then he kind of changed on it. So we get a lot of these with this show. I don't know. It's like either you start off saying you love it, and then you end up saying you hate it, or vice versa.
Yeah. I have a lot of problems with this comment. And like, you know, first off, let me tell Mike Sullivan, thank you for calling. I want to clarify so I'm not misunderstood. When I said the film was subtle, again, I was really trying to imply that I thought the parody was subtle. You know, it's not this here. I always said the parody was subtle, and let me finish, and I can tell you the parody is subtle because it isn't a Naked Gun or National Lampoon movie filled with parody by the second. It's subtle because it gives you time to take it all in, but also with the marketing. And I really thought that was subtle. These guys came out and said, is this a comedy? Is this an action movie? Is this a parody? What are you guys? And I like that about it. I like that it doesn't tell you. I don't need someone to spoon feed me what a movie is. I want to go and I want to figure out what it is for myself. And so in that effect, it is subtle because I had to go figure it out. I didn't just by going on the commercials. It doesn't tell you when you're 15 years old. Oh, is this a parody? I don't get this movie. It looks like a cool action movie. I'm going to go see it. So I thought it was wonderful that I had to figure that out and that I had to go to the theater, check it out. And that's what I mean by it being subtle. It has nothing to do with how they marketed the film. For God's sakes, we know that the marketing was done to hell. Right. So, I mean, and then also, you know, with this comedy, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You know, you can't call in and say that you like the film, enjoy the film, but it's not a good movie. Because in fact, if you liked it, if you enjoyed it and you was entertained by it, then it was effective and it was good. So end of discussion.
Subtle means fine or delicate in meaning or intent, difficult to perceive or understand. I don't think that fart jokes and animated cats are difficult to understand. Sorry, I didn't find anything in the film subtle.
Did you hear what I said? Because I just said that there's gaps between the parodies. It's not a joke a minute. So, and I mean, why do you have such a problem with the fart joke? Because the fart joke is really funny, especially when you have Arnold coming in. He runs to the crowd and he runs up to the funeral or the casket. He's like, he does the voiceover. That is the funniest thing.
So funny. I can't believe that scene goes on for 10 minutes long and he's just running and there's people with guns and everybody has guns. It's so funny. funny. It just has shades of fine meeting between what a parody is and where the animated cat comes in to save him. And it's just so subtle.
Hey, Sam, have you noticed how Mike's immaturity level has gone down a little bit as we've been going?
Not very subtle.
I think you're digging yourself a deeper hole than you necessarily realize with this.
I don't really have a whole lot to add to this voicemail, except I was just kind of confused by it. And it's kind of confusing one. And also, the only other point I can make is always remember that a subtle fart is a deadly fart.
That's okay? Word.
Hey guys, this is Eric Bresler with Cinedelphia.com, CineDelphia.com, calling from lovely Philadelphia, PA, to talk about Last Action Hero. So I would never have revisited this film if I wasn't such a big fan of The Projection Booth, which has to be the only podcast out there that would have an episode dedicated to Last Action Hero a mere 2 weeks after a Kenneth Anger-themed program. So I hadn't seen Last Action Hero since the theater. I was 14 at the time, and all I really remembered about the film was that it was rather boring, which it still is, but now I view it as a bore that's just filled with missed opportunities. It's a flawed film in many ways, the most obvious being its desire to be this metatextual parody film and its obvious fear to commit to that concept and take it to necessary degrees of effectiveness. And this makes sense considering that you mentioned how a screenwriter was brought in to change the script and seemingly make it more accessible to broader audiences. Justin himself pointed out that the parody is subtle and masked, which, again, is the film's major problem. There are, of course, levels of parody, and this film is really of the safe wink-wink variety rather than, say, the outright silliness of the Naked Gun movies or Loaded Weapon or whatever. There's that scene where Jack Slater disarms himself of a ridiculous number of guns, but it's not at a cartoon-like level of lunacy where he's pulling a hidden bazooka out of his back like what may happen in a Naked Gun film, or what did happen in Dead or Alive. My point is that the scenes of subtle parody that Justin mentioned are just barely unrealistic when it comes to the genre at hand, and thus while I watched it, I found myself lamenting the endless opportunities for smart commentary that they missed. The film really inspires an endless series of what-ifs in the viewer, as there are so many obvious manners in which the basic concept could be exploited to create a much more interesting film. There are a few instances of effective over-the-top parody, such as the fake Hamlet trailer, which was very UHF-like, or when the kid flies through the houses on his bike. But those scenes really just contradict the subtle atmosphere of the rest of the film, as well as its conventional structure of set-piece dialogue, as Mike described. Justin mentioned that the film was light years ahead of its time, but it's almost 20 years later, and I, at least, feel that it's still just as ineffective as it was back then, possibly even more so now that current action-slash-genre cinema is stylized to such a ludicrous degree. I mean, look at Hobo with a Shotgun, or Enderon, or the Thai action films. Justin also said that movies are no longer marketed as events, which I think is just silly. Blockbuster movies are more unavoidable than ever these days. Just this week, some of the robots from Real Steel were in town. I mean, if anything, movies are larger events now than they've ever been, and I think the budgets and box office numbers justify that statement. And just to quickly run through some other points of discussion, I wasn't nearly as bothered by Danny as Mike was, though that "I'm a kid" line was certainly atrocious. I also felt that the movie world didn't make sense, and that it takes a lot more than a couple of cameos and a cartoon cat to make that concept effective. Again, a huge missed opportunity to create something meaningful and memorable. And I found the build-up to the Seventh Seal sequence exciting, but it ultimately accomplished very little. Props for trying, though. So to sum it up, Last Action Hero is a forgettable film with an interesting intention that is never fully realized. It's really as close to watching a normal, boring action film as a parody can get. And I can only see discriminating movie watchers liking this out of a sense of nostalgia or to just simply contradict its generally poor reception. One thing I will say for this film is that it really works as a time capsule of the era, especially with those weird cameos by the likes of MC Hammer and Jim Belushi and, of all people, Little Richard, whose appearance probably mystified moviegoers back then just as much as it does today. I would like to point out what I felt to be the best exchange in the film, which was, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice. John, practice. That's some brilliant stuff. Oh, and if I could escape into any movie, it would definitely be 1980s The Apple, my personal cinematic utopia. So keep up the good work, guys. Bye.
It was good. I liked it, actually. I thought it was really good. Maybe it's just old age, like Sam has said, you know, in the last show, but I'm still waiting for the real steel Burger King meal.
See, I thought you would have real problems with it because he says that it inspires an endless series of what ifs, and that's what, you know, I keep saying, like, why didn't they do this? You know, you have problems with that. So I thought you would be like, Eric, you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I didn't listen to that part, actually.
Oh, selective hearing.
I just tuned it out completely. Exactly. No, I mean, you know, I disagree with a lot of it, of course. But, I mean, to defend myself about the movies not being events, I still don't feel, maybe it's because I'm older, not paying as much attention, but I still don't feel like, you know, something like Real Steel has been crammed down your throat. I mean, with our last Action Hero, you had the movie, the advertising in space, the Burger King and McDonald's commercials, the action figures, the coloring books, the Matchbox cars, the television commercials, the MTV Headbangers Ball special, the music videos, the comic books. I mean, it was crammed down everyone's throat, and I don't see that anymore to quite the degree that you saw something, you know, in the golden age of blockbuster.
Yeah, I think it was a lot easier back in that time to be able to hit all of those markets at once rather than the way, you know, this is getting to a larger discussion about the way that media is segmented. It's really tough now to get everybody on the same page compared to what it used to be, where it's just like, yeah, you had 247 and then you had a select number of cable places and people were watching MTV back then. I'm sure that their numbers are still pretty good, but I don't watch MTV anymore. Maybe I would if they had videos, but I don't know. I might be too old for that.
Nowadays, they have such a short window now. They really have to cram that in, and they cram it in so quick that if you're a working person or somebody that's busy all the time, or, you know, like me now, I'm a new father and stuff, you don't even see the advertisements anymore, and boom, the movie's in, and boom, the movie's gone. Next thing I know, it's coming out. I'm the same way with Captain America. I just looked at an ad for Blu-rays that came out this week or next week and saw the Captain America's coming out. I'm like, huh, didn't that just come out? And then I really sounded like an old man because, no, it didn't just come out. It came out a little while ago. It is a weird thing. I do feel, I have to agree with Justin as well, I don't feel like movies are events like they were. I don't know if that's an age thing either anymore. I don't really know, but, you know, Last Action Hero, I think I said this on the last show, you know, it in a lot of ways, I think it was affected tremendously by CGI, obviously, because I think I'm pretty positive that Jurassic Park opened before it.
Yeah, just 1 week beforehand.
And people were just so enamored with what this new CGI technology did. Even I was. I went and saw Jurassic Park twice. I don't go to the movies twice very often.
I mean, I still have a lot of faults with the story of Jurassic Park. I love the book of Jurassic Park, but the special effects still hold up, which is kind of crazy because there are better special effects in that than there are in a lot of things that are coming out today. The bar was raised. Why haven't you gone over it?
He did say in his voicemail, I did hear the words subtle atmosphere. I did hear that.
Yeah,
I know.
He does kind of agree, you know.
To a fault, but that's okay. Yeah. At least, you know, at least there was one person that actually could think about my comment before rushing to judgment. So that's
fine. And I kind of disagree with him when he says that, you know, it's not effective anymore. I actually think this film is more effective now than it was then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, age is great for me. I watch it all the time, and I still see something that I missed the first time around. It's really bizarre.
You need to pay attention.
Yeah, the ridiculous nature of action movies now. I mean, I love action movies, but really, if you think about it, they're really ridiculous. I mean, I guess I'm not a fan of the transporter films, but I mean, if you're into that kind of thing, I guess that's your kind of thing, or the Crank films, even for that matter, but those films are almost parody of some sort, or I don't know what the hell they are. Actually, maybe the Crank films exist in a genre all their own that I haven't figured out yet.
I just want to say to Eric that I love The Apple too.
Yeah, you know, maybe we should get Eric on the show and do a whole Apple episode because it's an amazing film.
Yeah, I don't know, because it's kind of a negative comment.
Hi, this is Mike McGranahan from IsleSeat.com calling about The Last Action Hero. Probably talking about this movie all day, but I'll keep it short. I remember reading the very famous article in Premiere that came out shortly before the movie was released. It was very critical of the film and talked about how the studio and the filmmakers were basically trying to prefabricate the biggest movie ever made and how there were reshoots and rewrites and re-edits and how Schwarzenegger tried to control everything down to the marketing campaign. And I think that really affected the way people saw Last Action Hero when it was released. I remember sitting there not paying attention to the movie so much as trying to gain some sense of what happened with it. For that reason, I'm not sure it's ever truly been fairly judged. It's a movie that, like a lot of the other so-called classic disasters, is not as bad as its detractors claim it is, and it's not as great as its fans think it is. Definitely a flawed film, but there are some interesting things in there, too. There's some nice moments, some interesting ideas, some ideas that could have paid off a little better than they did. So even today, it's kind of received a reputation as being an infamous disaster, and I don't think it's that bad, but you know, certainly they had a lot more potential there that was untapped. So I'm sort of in the middle on it, but wanted to call in and comment. Loving the show. Keep up the good work, and can't wait to hear what you do next.
I remember that Premiere article. I don't know if you guys were reading Premiere back then, but I was. There wasn't a whole lot of movie magazines that I could get a hold of back then. I don't know why.
Just Premiere and Movie Line at the time, I think.
Yeah, and I think Movie Line was a little bit more paparazzi than I liked. I think the Premiere was a better article-written type magazine. But I do remember that article because I remember a similar article for Waterworld. I like Waterworld, this film.
Another great film, absolutely.
I will not disagree about that. I'm a huge Waterworld fan. I own that on DVD probably. Like three times.
Yeah, the irony continues with Mike White.
A lot of people keep saying this, and I keep hearing this every time people talk about this movie. Even sometimes when Will and I talk about it, we'll even say it. So I'm not immune to this, but we'll all say it was a disaster. But ultimately, the film was not a disaster. It made almost twice its budget back. But I mean, that is worldwide. Yeah, was it a bit of a failure in the opening weekend here in the States? Yeah, it was, because we were so used to Arnold Schwarzenegger movies being huge. But again, it was going against Jurassic Park, which, if you recall, had a huge second week. It made back its money and then some. So it was not a huge failure. A lot of people claim it killed his career. Don't think so. There's worse movies that came after this. I can tell you that right now. So
I think, yeah, and I still think it flew over people's heads.
It sounds like he liked the film.
He was in the middle.
It was interesting to me that he said that it was flawed, but it had some interesting idea and moments. And I think a lot of those moments and ideas were what was left over of the Zach Penn and Adam Leff script, because I really enjoyed that script. And I just feel that they came in and just mucked around with it way too much. Shane Black and David Arnott, they just did too much and really kind of took the heart of what could have been, to me, a really great movie and just threw it on the floor and stepped on it.
Wait a minute. The bad puns, the voice, the hard rock. This is happening. This is really happening.
Now here's some listener feedback that puts an interesting spin on Last Action Hero.
Hey guys, this is Rustin, otherwise known as Rustin242 on your message board there. Love the projection booth, and the controversy over the Last Action Hero inspired me to actually watch the movie on Netflix last night. The thing I thought about the movie while watching it was that the movie was Danny's dream. I thought he either fell asleep while he was at home doing his math homework, or he did go to the theater and fell asleep during the movie, since it's after midnight it was showing. And if it is his dream, the plot holes and the inconsistencies and really, really flat characters kind of work for me, because that's how a dream kind of feels, and especially a 12-year-old boy's dream. And I think it just kind of works that way if it's a dream. And plus, the characters keep alluding to what is coming up in Danny's life, like the onset of puberty, which is probably something, as a 12-year-old boy without a father figure, is worried about. And also, there's references to, like, all the women in the movie that he's in are incredibly beautiful, and which is exactly in keeping with what a 12-year-old boy would probably have on his mind. And as far as why is death from the seventh seal in this movie, well, in the movie, you notice the mother says she's not divorced or a single mom. She's widowed. So obviously Danny's father had died, so that's probably a huge fear in his life, either asleep or awake. And he finds the ultimate father figure in this character that Schwarzenegger plays, and he's about to die and lose yet another father figure. You know, it's probably just a fear that's going on in the subconscious all the time. Movie logic about what Mike had said about all the movies existing together at the same time. Well, if it's a 12-year-old boy's dream, maybe it's only the movies that he likes or that are on his mind. You know, like Basic Instinct was around the same time, and of course, you know, Prepubescent Boy would love that character. And the Terminator guy, you know, every kid loved that movie, which was only 2 years before Last Action Hero. And, you know, maybe he wasn't into Planet of the Apes or whatever. It just didn't fit in his dream world. So If the movie's a dream, it works for me. If it isn't a dream, then the action movie part is just a really badly done action movie. And, you know, I don't know, just something to think about. I think this movie did suffer from, like, the draconian release date that the studio would not budge on, and it probably would have benefited if it had two more months to maybe be fine-tuned a bit, because the pacing, I do agree with you, Mike, the pacing was a little uneven in it, especially when he goes into the quote-unquote real world at the end. It just feels like, we're going to go over here now, and then the dorky part of his mom's life meeting the movie character. Oh, one other point. It's got to be a dream, because what mom wouldn't recognize Arnold Schwarzenegger? Kid's gone for, you know, half the night, comes home with a friend, and his friend is Arnold Schwarzenegger, and she doesn't recognize him. That's another thing that makes me think it's a dream. All right, enough rambling. Thanks for the show, guys. You guys are doing an excellent job. I love the program, the interviews you get, and the research. It's really heads and shoulders above any other podcast that's out there right now. Take care. This is Rustin. Bye.
That was nice.
Yeah. I thought it was a great point. I think it really helps explain away some of the dumbness and the complete lack of sense in the film. It was all just a dream.
I actually don't like that. I would feel cheated if it was a dream.
Yeah, I feel like if it is a dream, then I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, it's an interesting take on it. I've thought about the movie ever since he said that, and I could see the point and the approach that way. But I'm like Justin. I think I would feel cheated.
All right, so let's go ahead and we'll wrap this thing up. So let's get our closing arguments as they were. I mean, obviously this court case is it's going to end in a hung jury. We're never going to end this thing. It's not so open and shut as an underwear bombing. So let's go ahead, Sam. Why don't you start us off? What's your final take on everything?
What I really liked about the feedback for me being a fan of this film is that it seems like the majority of people either like this film or they don't think they like it, and they kind of do like it. So that's what it felt like to me. I don't know if you guys felt the same way. So I'm very happy to hear that it still has fans out there, that people are still talking about this film. Again, I'll speak for my co-host Will over the GGTMC. He's a fan of this film, and many of us are. I still think the film is solid. I appreciate everything Mike talks about. You know, I consider him a friend, but in this one instance, I think Mike White is wrong.
I feel like I've presented a very good case over the last two episodes. I don't particularly care, I guess, if people dislike the film. Like I said, it's in the eye of the beholder. You're going to like it or dislike it, and that's fine. You know, it's not my job to tell you to like something or dislike something. And so I'm going to stand by my word and say that the film is a wonderful film. It is very fun, very funny, has a lot of great ideas. It's a great meta film. And I think it is a masterpiece on the fact that it is Arnold's greatest performance. And now, with that being said, I want to pose a point, which is I'm going to totally wipe my head and I'm going to say, so let's say Mike White is right. But with that being said, I don't think Mike won this conversation. And I'll tell you why. Because at the end of the day, I got Mike White to watch a movie he hates 8 times. And I take a lot of satisfaction in that. And also, I got all the listeners watch a movie that they hate. So at the end of the day, who's the joke on? And who really won this conversation? Who really won this battle? That's all I'm saying.
All I can say is, me Chinese, me play joke, me go pee-pee in your Coke. I still don't see why you like this one that much, other than maybe you saw it at the right age, you do identify with Danny as a character, all these kind of things. I still think that it was a huge missed opportunity, and I feel very insulted whenever I watch it.
Listen, Mike, I want to thank you for watching the film 8 times, and I do appreciate you putting the effort into it and the research and the scripting, reading the scripts and stuff like that. And so, yeah, thanks very much.
Really, I want to say, you know, how much I appreciate Sam coming on here, because, you know, he's kind of bridging this middle ground a little bit, being the voice of reason, and then also just all of your points that you brought up, this show and the last show.
It's always great to come on the show, guys. I mean, I'm big fans of both of you guys, and I love the show, and I love being on it. It's an honor for me.
So that's all the time we had on this special episode of The Projection Booth. Thanks again for listening. Be sure to check out more episodes of The Projection Booth on iTunes, via Stitcher, or on Jackalope Radio.
Visit our website, projection-booth.com, and be sure to visit our guest host website and listen to their show, ggtmc.com. Thank you again, Sam.
Thank you.
All right, be sure to check out the regular schedule program this Wednesday, November 2nd. We'll be back with Strip to Kill 2, Live Girls, the Roger Corman-produced strip club Psycho Noir starring Maria Ford.
Yummy.
Every time I look in the mirror, all these lines in my face getting clearer. The past is gone, it went by like dust to dawn. Isn't that the
grow up.
Just say this one word.
This is another one of your movie proofs?
Maybe.
Kid, I don't want to say it.
Say what? You can't. You can't possibly say it. Because this movie is PG-13. Admit it.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.